How do you know if you're worrying too much? How can you mend a broken heart? Does peaking at school ruin you for life? I'm Susie Ruffle, a stand-up comedian and someone who has always experienced anxiety. And I've written a book, Am I Having Fun Now? Considering some of life's big questions, featuring bonus insights from the likes of Charlene Douglas, Sarah Pascoe, Elizabeth Day and Dolly Alderton. Am I Having Fun Now? Is out now in hardback, ebook and audio.
Okay. Oh, wait a minute. The cat's in here. Let me get rid of her. Oh, keep that in.
Thelma, hon, no. You don't understand podcast etiquette. You know, I love you all the same. Go on, Thelma.
Sorry about that, Thomas.
You know,
she's like Chatty Cathy. Welcome to Like Minded Friends with me, Susie Ruffle.
And me, Tom Allen. Hello, everybody.
Hello, good morning. I'm in my PJs still.
Not just PJs, but a very becoming dressing gown, Susie.
Well, thank you for saying that. Do you know, this was a gift from Josh Widdicombe. I mean, I think his wife chose it.
That's a nice gift.
It is a good gift. A very nice...
Looks very cozy, yeah.
Dressing robe.
Yeah, very cozy. I'm just going to... Sorry, I'm just moving a pillow.
Well, Tom, that's a jazzy cushion.
Mum bought it.
Yeah, I got that. You didn't need to tell me that.
Thank you. No, it is quite nice.
Is that a bedding set that is that?
Yeah,
loud?
It's a bedding set that's
yeah,
in
those. Yeah, my mum loves that sort of loud bedding sets as well.
Oh, really? Yes. I just plain white.
Same.
Mum's like, oh, I wouldn't go for white. Oh, I wouldn't go. I have like white towels. Oh, I wouldn't have white towels.
What does she think you're going to do to them?
I know, right? I know. I don't know what she thinks. Anyway.
Tom, you've had quite a big week.
Well, I've had a bit of a cold, actually, the last couple of days, because I think I overdid it.
Because you've been going so hard at life.
Well, you know me. Go hard or go...
Go home or go home.
Go home or... Just go home, I would.
So, look, we don't want to clang too hard, but Tom turned on the Christmas lights in Bromley.
Thank you. Thank you for knowing that, Susie.
So, tell me... How long has this been in the work? Is this something you've wanted to do since you were quite small? Did you go as a child to see these lights being turned on?
Probably, possibly, yes. The main turning point was last year when they asked Rob Beckett to do it.
Oh, you must have been livid.
I was furious about it, actually.
Of course.
And I made it quite known. And
publicly?
Oh, yes, I was on the One Show.
Oh, Tom, I love this. What did you say on the One Show? That it was a piss
take? I can't believe they've given me... Yeah, that I'm outraged. They've given it to Rob Beckett. And I did the local one in Chislehurst. And...
Do you think they saw your work at Chislehurst and thought, he's ready for the big time?
They made me jump through hoops, didn't they? They made me prove myself first.
Yeah, but Tom, isn't that always the way?
Yeah, and you know what? The victory was sweeter because of it.
Yeah, of course. Of course. What did you do? Nice 10-minute set at the top about putting on Christmas lights?
Bit of an interview.
Oh, someone interviewing you?
Yes, on stage.
Oh,
which was fun.
What did you talk about?
Well, we talked about all manner of things, really. I mainly talked about sort of my relationship with Bromley. Will I be doing my Christmas shopping in Bromley?
Yes.
I said what a great high street it is. I remember when my mum used to work in the Army and Navy, which is now another... department store. It was lots to talk about, lots to refer to, and then switched on the lights. Apparently the lights did come on 3 seconds before the countdown ended, but I didn't know that.
Okay. And what do you just press a fake button, is it?
It's actually like a glitter ball, like on Strictly.
Oh, how camp. Did they do that just for you, or was it like that for Rob last year as well?
I imagine they did it for Rob as well. I think the event is fairly camp.
No shit. The turning on of Christmas lights.
Canvas the Christmas tree. Yeah.
Oh, well, listen, Tom, today Bromley, next time Madison Square Gardens.
I can only hope. And that's, I think, dream, as well, it? That's my dream. And also, thank you to anybody who came along. There were some like-minded friends there.
Clang.
And clang. And it did rain almost as soon as I arrived. So that was...
Is it raining where you are today?
Yeah. Well, it looks like it's snowing, but I don't know if it is or not.
It is pouring here.
Yeah, very
wintry.
Can you
hear it? Because I've got a flat roof. Can you hear it?
Well, be careful with that.
No, oh, tell me about it. Every time it rains, when it's like really heavy, Mum will ring me and go, oh, no, you hate it when I say this, but go and check that flat roof of yours.
Nah.
You've got to make sure nothing's coming in. She's petrified of rain coming in.
Well...
Which I think is fair because it has done before.
Didn't you have to have the roof done when you moved
in? Oh, Tom, we've had to have fucking everything done in this house. We basically bought a shell.
Gosh, really, Suze?
Yeah, and we've had to move the snail out of it.
Wow. That's harsh, isn't it? But have you had a busy week, Suze? You had a nice time?
Well, Tom, I have. I've been gigging lots.
Oh, yes.
Oh, I did the Palladium on Monday.
Oh, I saw that.
I mean, I've done it. It's quite clangy, isn't it?
Oh, I'll say, Suze.
It is quite jazzy.
Very up your street.
It's a nice place to... You're very up my strata. Tell you what, though, so many dressing rooms backstage. You can tell they're ready for a big cast, can't you?
Yes, all in that grey.
Yeah, all grey. Come on, babe. Treat yourself to some Farrenball. And secondly, a bit of a rabbit warren.
Yeah, it is a bit like that, isn't it, that back there?
Now, someone told me that Bruce Forsyth's ashes are under the stage.
Yeah.
You told me that.
Well, possibly. It's one of the things I like to remark about it.
Because I think I went down there once and someone was like, oh, it's over there. And I was like, glue. But I forgot about that.
I think they'd be in an urn, wouldn't they? They wouldn't be.
I don't think they'd be loose.
I think they'd be loose on the floor.
Do you think the urn is in that sort of shape that he used to do? You know, like.
Oh, that would be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah. One hand to the forehead, you know, a fist to the forehead sort of thing.
Oh, maybe. Yeah. Maybe they are. Nice to see you. Nice to see you. What an entertainer. What a tap dancer. He was a tapper.
First class tapper.
And he played the piano.
That's the thing. I think you and I were born in the wrong era.
Well, that's what I often think with him. You know, I just think he was so wonderful. I remember at school, they asked, a police officer came in and said, who do you most look up to? And everybody was like, oh, the fireman who helped us, the nurse, the doctor. Yeah. A lot of people said their parents, obviously. I said, Bruce Forsyth.
Oh, I love it.
I was nine.
Did people laugh? Do you remember getting a laugh?
I think the police officer did, but none of the other children knew who I was talking about. That was the problem with my whole childhood.
But look at you now.
Look at me now. Wearing a hoodie with a pillow on my lap to support the microphone. Yeah.
And they said it would never happen. Doing a podcast with a woman in her PJs.
Yes, a lovely striped dressing gown.
There you go. It's going all right.
Lovely toweling.
But that was fine. Although, Tom, I was wondering about talking about this on the pod.
Oh, no.
Last week, I went to the Etihad, which is Manchester City's ground, with friend of the show, Mark McAdam.
Dear Mark,
who is a football pundit and commentator and does lots of things for Sky Sports.
Mm.
And we did a thing for Rainbow Laces, which is like, I think a Stonewall initiative about once every season, players wearing rainbow laces to say... Yeah. We're allies with the LGBTQIA+ community.
Mm.
And we went and did this little video, Maisie and I, all about, not all about rainbow laces, really. It was all about people getting into football. And rainbow laces was sort of part of it where you go, oh, also it's a really inclusive space, which, you know, the women's game really, really is.
Mm.
And they put it out on Sky Sports. And in less than an hour, they had to disable the comments because there was so much homophobia.
Really?
Yeah. And it left me feeling really, someone sort of told me in passing. And then I sort of thought, oh, I wish I hadn't been told that. But it's left me feeling really like, oh yeah. Like I live in such a fucking bubble. Like I live in Brighton and I work in the arts. Yes. What I do is art before anyone gets in touch. Thank you very much.
Yes. We don't want any more comments. Thank you. Yeah.
But It left me feeling really sad.
Well, when I did that commentary with Mark, do you remember during the pandemic?
Yeah.
It was the end of the pandemic. For Sky Sports, for a bit of a laugh, and I was just messing around. That was this time of year. That was for the Rainbow Laces week. And I just did it for a bit of a laugh. I was messing around doing the commentary.
Yeah.
And lots of people got that I was just being silly and just doing it for fun. But the people who comment, there were so many angry people that went with it. I was astonished. But I think, dare I say, some of the football world is very kind of motivated, like to comment in a negative way. That's because I suppose in the same way that if one goes to certain games, one might hear a lot of negativity from other people on the terraces. Yeah. Lovely how they call them terraces, though. Sort of Italianate.
On the balconies.
Yes. But yes, it's very alarming.
It is. But also, And I think it was yesterday as well. There was oh, Tom.
Excuse me.
You know what I want to say? I want to say one of your lines to you.
Don't cough like that.
No, not don't cough like
it's
that.
It's like a period
that,
drama.
It's like period drama. If there's blood in the hanky, she'll be dead in the next scene.
Mm, exactly.
One of my absolute faves.
Always handy to have in your back pocket.
I love it when you say that. So there's two female footballers, Sam Kerr and Kirsty Mewes, who announced yesterday that they're expecting a baby. I don't know if they're married or engaged, but they've been together for quite a long time.
Mm.
That's not to suggest you have to be married or engaged to have a baby. Just
well, it did sound like that, Susie.
Yeah,
gosh,
I know, which sounded
right.
Like a sort of, you know, sort of very traditional, queerly beloved.
Queerly beloved. That would be a good name for something.
For a...
Wedding, gay wedding podcast? Gay wedding... Organized planners.
Yeah, a planner. That's what I'm looking for. If anyone from Scribbler, is Scribbler still going? I don't think so.
What, the stationery shop?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't think that's going to drag it out of administration.
It's a toughie, isn't it? But I'm sure somebody owns the brand.
Almost certainly. Get in touch. Do
let us know. Maybe you were the liquidators there. Yeah, so let us know.
They announced they were expecting a child, which is wonderful, obviously. And... Tom, please.
I feel like I'm coughing every time you talk about them having a child.
Yeah, like you're disgusted by it. People were being so unkind on their posts that, again, Chelsea had to like disable. Mm. One of them plays for Chelsea. They had to disable comments so people couldn't comment.
It's very sad, isn't it?
And it's just left me feeling very sad as like a parent, as a gay parent, and also just as sort of a gay person in the media. It made me feel a bit frightened, which I know sounds mad, but like I think I've got quite a big fear about it getting like bashed. To use an Australian word.
Well, I think we, you know, yeah, we are conscious
vitriol
of that.
Vitriol is so violent.
Yeah,
that it just
yeah,
feels a bit
certainly
like,
can seem
oh,
like
God.
That.
And I think most of the time I'm quite good at like being like, oh, people are pricks and give a fuck. And that's why I live in my nice little world. But yesterday, oh, it just got me and I felt really sad.
It got you. Well, it's in a way that straight people probably wouldn't have that experience,
no.
I don't. I dare say. Maybe they'd have it in a different
way.
Yes,
I think maybe if you're part of another marginalised community.
For sure. And I think I think as well that not, I mean, I think when I have experienced it, I've often felt very aggrieved. But actually, looking from the outside in, I do also think that a lot of those people who comment, I know I've made fun of them before, but like those people who comment on there are not,
well,
you know, are you not well, potentially? I'm not, if you saw them, you wouldn't be, I don't know, maybe we wouldn't be as threatened because they would seem, that's what I like to think.
Maybe they have no teeth or something like that.
I often imagine they don't have any teeth.
Yeah.
You know, you say, oh, I live in a bubble, but also the people online do live in a bubble of sorts as well.
Yes, not, I think that's right.
I think who, as I've said before, who actually do you know who comments on those videos?
Oh, no, I don't know anyone that's spending their time commenting on YouTube.
I've got a thought. Yeah, do you know what I mean?
No, and, so I stand on stage and tell everyone my thoughts.
Yes, I suppose that's one way of doing it. But I, you know, so try and have that in mind, I think, not to negate your experience in any way. But
No, I think you're right. I think you're right. But I think it was like, it made me wonder about whether like all this sort of rise politically in the right, both like here in Europe, America, it's sort of given some people more agency, I think, to be more hateful.
Gosh. Well,
do you think? Or am I know you've got a cold, Tom. I don't want to make it.
It's already quite a grey day out there, but
sorry, is this becoming a bit news agency?
No, I've never listened to that actually.
Do I sound like Emily Maitlis?
Emily Maitlis rhymes with clematis.
Yes, it does.
Well, I think there's always been a contingent of people who are like that, who will rather be horrible than be nice, put it lightly. I think it usually comes as a result of fear of instability and things.
Yes,
you're
probably right.
Yeah, there is, a lot of people have said that there's been an increase in that sort of way of thinking, well, since forever, really, but
yeah,
at various points. But I think that's why it's important to do positive things.
Yeah,
so I think that's
so.
An antidote to it. I think actually that's arrogantly of me to say, but I do think that is the best antidote, is just to be positive, to live positively, to be as a human being, and also to be as a human being full of frailties and good moments and bad moments. You know, I think that's why if we show people to be people, then humans are very good at empathizing with one another.
Yeah.
And there's more good than bad. We just hear from the bad.
Yes, I think you're right. Yeah. And also Maisie, who I do the football podcast with, sent me a very sweet, lovely message about how, well, first of all, about how they're all pricks, but then also, you know, enjoying the thing that they don't want you to have is actually winning.
Yeah.
They don't want us to be part of that world.
Yeah.
So the way that we win is just by doing it in a joyful way.
Mm. Yeah, for sure.
But I didn't know whether to talk. I was like, I felt really sad.
No, you must talk about it.
I don't want to be like, I know that some people like tune into the podcast for like a bit of like relief from like the stresses of the world. But I thought,
look at us. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
But like, I think, I don't know. I think maybe people have experienced a similar thing. And I think it's quite, you know, important to go, that happens here too, even.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, Alf's brought me a cup of coffee.
Oh my God, he's such a nice boy.
He's such a good one, isn't he?
Oh my God, he's nude.
He's not. He's got his pajamas on. You want to say hello? He says good morning.
He says good morning. Tell him I say good morning.
Susie says good morning. No, he's gone actually. No.
He's gone. Oh, do you know what? That's rude actually.
That's really rude, you know.
But he's very excited about the Wicked film, isn't he?
Oh, he's very excited about that. He's booked to go and see it on Friday.
I bet he's very across the press tour.
Oh, yes. Apparently the bigger budget than the American military, which I don't know if that's true.
Oh my God, that's such an Alfie fact.
I know, I was
by which I mean incorrect and quite gay.
Mm. I've never even seen it on stage though, so anyway.
Neither have I, but surely someone that works for Wicked is listening to this. Guys.
Surely one of them. Surely one of our like-minded friends is somehow connected.
Although there is a great Instagram account of a girl who is the swing for Elphaba in New York.
Oh.
And when she gets called up to do the shows, she's like, she like records like her day. And she's like, so I've just got a call to go and be Elphaba. So the first thing I'll do is like my vocal exercises. And then it takes her all the way to like coming off stage and taking off the green makeup. And honestly, I absolutely love that account.
She's really, really making the most of this.
Well, listen, you got to do it. You got to do it.
You get a little moment. You got to take it.
You got to take the moment.
It's a big moment. But I'm not to move on too swiftly from what you were saying, because I don't want to. Also, I'm very conscious that I, as a man, might feel slightly different to, you know, I've had a different experience to.
I think it's just, yeah, I don't know.
I'm so easy for me to go like, just, you know, don't worry about it. But,
but I think it's just, yeah. But I think that is sort of all you can do. Because what's the alternative? Living in fear or living less loudly?
Absolutely, yeah.
And I'm not going to fucking do that. I'm not going to start now, am I?
It's a bit late.
Do you know what I mean? I've got this haircut. I've got all the ties.
Yeah.
What am I going to do?
You know, you can't stop wearing tweed now.
No, that's so, simply no.
You know, you really...
You can't take off your waistcoats. You've made a commitment.
I can't. I probably should, but I can't. A lot of them are fused.
Sewn into some of them.
I have to wear them all the time. But
have you sewn them onto your shirts? You know, like...
Would be a good idea. Like those t-shirts.
Yeah, like, do you remember those... they'd have little collars coming out the top of like...
Oh, yes! Shirts. I like those.
Do you?
That was my go-to smart jumper, I remember, for a time. It was green. Gosh, that's a memory.
What,
a red jumper with a
collar?
I think it was a V-neck, actually, with a green sort of t-shirt inside.
Oh, my gosh, Tom.
Was it a green jumper with a red t-shirt? Oh, anyway.
Green and red. What was it? Christmas?
I think I might have got it around that time.
Festive?
It must have, yes. I very much lent into it. But what was I going to say as well? I do think, though, as well, a lot of platforms, and I know, like, there are videos that just go up on different platforms, but...
You're talking about shoes?
Yes, I think they're a real nightmare for ankles, for those of us with weak ankles. And I just wanted to say that. But also, a lot of people have been like, I'm leaving Twitter, look at me, including a news organisation. And I want to go, that platform has been a horrible cesspit
for 10 years.
In my experience. Easily, you know?
Yeah. The fact
why
that
are you leaving now
is you not know. News. You are very much the last person jumping ship.
Exactly. I do. I mean, I did keep my account open. I'll say that, but it was just to let maybe anybody who's following me know that if there's something I want to let them know about, you know, comedy stuff.
I know.
But I do think there's a lot of people like. But I haven't, you know, posted my thoughts for a long time.
What are you thinking? Nothing that I want to share on this platform.
Yeah, what's on your mind? But I just think it's been such like so many nice things that I should have been proud of were ruined by the horrible people on there. Mm. And I think that was the nature. That's been, it took me a long time to wake up and realize that's the nature of that platform in particular, but a lot of those platforms
is to generate
that negativity and hate and insecurity and anxiety, and to play into our natural human fears and insecurities and magnify them. And I think it's really toxic. And I think that it's got a lot to answer for, you know, without bringing someone like Elon Musk into the conversation. There, I've said my two penny worth. What do you think about that, Suze?
Well, I think it's right, Tom. Oh, I love it when you get political.
Oh, I don't know about all that, but it did occur to me. I was that a lot of people are like, I don't know.
Yeah, just making an announcement that they're leaving.
Leave.
We've been gone for a while because it's absolutely horrific.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, I think you're right, Tom. I think you're right about everything, actually.
Well, absolutely. Oh, great. Oh, that's good. Oh, that's good to know. But yeah, no, I mean, it's easy to say, isn't it? Don't allow it to resonate, or don't allow it to permeate your feelings. But at the same time, I know these things do. So.
I also thought it would probably fuel some stand-up, and I do need to write a new show. So,
well, annoyingly,
the trolls will help me write a new 10 minutes, so I'll take that.
Yeah. I think that the more we feel something, the more, the better stand-up it makes. I think that, but like I said, I think there's a lot of people out there who do make their lives just commenting, and I think love it when people... like
when they
respond.
Get a rise out of people.
Yeah. You know, so I think that's part of it.
I think so.
And the more you can just sort of ignore, because I think as well, you know, 15, 20 years ago, we would have just been making a thing, carrying on with our day. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I did that thing. Oh, yes, I'm very proud of that. Thank you. Oh, I'm doing this thing.
Yeah. And people at home, if they didn't like it, would have just not watched it.
Yeah. And they might not have had an opinion because they weren't. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't like... I do think a lot of those apps are, and that kind of world of commenting and sort of stuff is quite addictive. It's
I think so. And I've been guilty of that.
Me too.
You know, totally guilty of like, oh, I've put up a new clip. I wonder how it's done.
Yes.
Like, you know, and that sort of thing. And then you go, oh God, this is really embarrassing that I care so much. You know?
No, yeah, but... how are you supposed to gauge it otherwise?
People- yeah, but then you just have to gauge it in the moment, don't you? You do a gig, the gig goes well.
That's
everybody
enough.
Laughs. Mm. You go, this was great. And then I actually am doing it less so now, but there was a period when I'd be on tour. I'd then like post a picture.
Yes.
On the tour.
Yes.
And then I would love to receive messages from people saying how much they enjoyed the show, but it should be enough to hear the laughter. And I don't, but it's like feeding that thing of like, oh, it's never enough. It's never enough.
Never enough. That yes.
It's actually quite
that's
dangerous.
The problem. That's the problem. Yes, Suze, you're right.
That's the drug.
That's the drug. Yes, I keep...
the praise drug.
Oh, yeah. I've bought another chair.
How is that linked?
Because I keep buying them.
That's your addiction. Jane's addiction. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I keep buying chairs.
What kind of chair is it?
Well, it's sort of... it's a loungy chair, but it's quite upright.
Oh, right. Did you put it up yourself?
No, I put it in the... Anyway. it's arriving tomorrow, apparently.
Oh, that is exciting. Where did you buy it from?
An antique site in the north of England. Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
I'm very interested in Man with a Hammer at the moment.
Oh, Greg,
across what he's up to.
Ballroom dancing.
Well, just everything that he's up to. Mm-hmm. Did you see that fireplace that he found?
Oh, no, I didn't see that one.
Oh, I messaged him. I was very worried that he was going to find a body.
Oh, that's
exciting.
In
like where the kitchen used to be. Oh, maybe it wasn't a fireplace. It was like an old cooking area where like...
The butler's pantry.
Yeah, that sort of thing. Mm. The butler's pantry would be a great name for like quite an upmarket gay bar.
Oh, yeah, I'd go there.
What do you think? I'll meet you for a cocktail at the...
At the butler's pantry. We're going up the butler's.
Yeah.
Great idea. It's a bit of very Downton Abbey.
Yeah. What's that cocktail that I saw once in a... Oh, the Critic. It was short and sour.
Oh, that's fun.
I'll have a Critic in the butler's and then I'll see you down the way.
Oh, yeah, that's good. That's... it would, because we've been... Obviously, we have Downton Abbey almost on a constant loop here.
Yeah, of course.
And of course, you have to. And it's poor old Thomas Barrow, Mr. Barrow, the gay one.
Right.
Oh, he has a tough time.
Well, I think I've got it bad from people that watch Sky Sports. Imagine being him.
Imagine being Thomas Barrow. Oh, yeah. He works out all right in the end, though.
Good for him.
It's a very nice friendship with Rufus Sewell, I think.
Was
it Luke Evans?
I don't know, Tom. I think it's Rufus Sewell. But I'm sure it's lovely. Sewell. And you have a very nice friendship with Alfie, don't you?
Dear, like-minded friend. Yeah.
Dear friend. Should we do emails next week?
Should we do that one?
Yeah, go for it. That? You might need to speak slightly slower, Tom.
Are people getting annoyed at me doing that?
I don't think people are getting annoyed. I think it's just quite hard to keep up.
Look, anyway.
Look, look, bitches.
This is from Chris. Dear Susie and Tom, I'm writing from Nova Scotia in Canada as a new listener of the pod and wanted to convey my heartfelt thanks. Listening to you both is my treat during my daily commute to work, and it's like I'm eavesdropping on a phone call with the gay British cousins I wish I had.
We are those things.
We are those things. Sending you both love and best wishes from across the pond. With the recent controversy of Tom's non-consensual house photography, well, that feels like an age ago, but thank you, and mentions of nude beach irregularities in addition to the overarching themes of Edwardian etiquette and lesbian sensibility, I'm compelled to ask your advice. Regrettably, the only gay-friendly interior design and anxiety advice column that could adequately discuss my conundrum in a fulsome manner. My husband and I are the new proud owners of a house that backs onto a forest. Brackets,
oh, clang. That back is such anything. A clang. I love it.
Well done. And one of my great pleasures is enjoying my early morning coffee in the nude when the weather permits.
Oh my goodness.
As there's usually nobody around. Wow. As this is New Scotland, there is a strong culture of people minding their own damn business here. Down the road. Older lady who has lived in the area for several decades, and evidently she has a habit of walking her dogs in the forest, stopping to stare into our house from the trees. I don't mind her enjoying the outdoors, but we have startled each other in the early hours with her in the bushes and me in the birthday suit in cafe on more than one occasion. Each time she's aghast and I'm startled. We don't speak, but I'm mortified if I've offended her, while at the same time I'm trying to enjoy the outdoor space that we own in peace. She continues to walk by our woods regularly, unfazed by previous experiences, yet each time seems to be dismayed. Besides improving the state of our curtains for her early morning creeping, what should I do? I don't know how mortified I should be. Bye, Chris.
Now, is Chris outdoors in the nude, or is he in his house in the nude?
Well, I think
maybe
I
in
think
the garden,
outdoors.
Is he having an alfresco coffee with his bits and bobs out? Both his bits and his bobs.
Enjoying my early morning coffee in the nude when the weather permits, as there's usually nobody around. I took that to be outside.
Yeah, I think.
I mean, I don't know. I mean,
it's very Nova Scotia.
I've not known the Nova Scotia way. Is it the Vieux Scotia, old Scotland? I mean, I dare say it feels very decadent. It feels very sort of Bloomsbury Group.
It does feel very Bloomsbury set, doesn't it? What, Tom? Just look straight at the camera now. It looks like you've got, no, go back to where you were. It looks like you've got a George Michael.
Oh, beard.
Beard.
With the positioning of the microphone.
It looks like a goatee. You look like Beppe from EastEnders.
Thank you for that.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
I think it's fine if you're in your garden. Could you put a note on a tree?
I might be naked in my garden. Avert your gaze.
I might be naked in my garden.
Yeah.
I do this between 6 and 7.
I mean, there's something, it feels very, you know, sort of holistic, doesn't it? Quite
letting
sort
the
of
air get around it.
Yeah, you
Is
know.
That good for it? I don't know.
Well, you might feel just a bit sort of
free.
A bit, you know, I think it's probably a bit like walking barefoot in grass.
Yeah, sure.
Naked with a cup of coffee. I just think...
I want to know where he's sitting.
Yes, I want... And I'm also concerned about what sort of furniture. What sort of... Yes, that's a good one. Good question. What sort of furniture? Because I think if it is wrought iron, it will be quite cold. And if it's wooden, well, you've got to think about splinters.
You've got to be careful of splinters. Yeah, that would be a real issue. It. And then if it's some sort of cushion scenario, are you giving them quite a thorough wipe down?
Well, and also I'd be worried about the damp first thing.
Oh, yes.
But that's just me. And also the woman obviously walks past several times.
Yeah, so if anything, she's a... that word. Voyeur?
Yeah, maybe. And it is your garden, essentially.
Maybe she's a like-minded friend also. If she could get in touch. If you're occasionally spotting a nude man in Nova Scotia through a forest.
Oh, yes. I would like to think we had more of these sort of old ladies walking dogs listenership.
I think that listenership is there.
Mm. If they're going to be anywhere, it's here.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know what, in terms of like, if you're worried about it, in terms of who's in the right, who's in the wrong, I couldn't possibly say.
No, I wouldn't. I think that you'd be a hung jury. Hung.
Very good, Susie. Very good.
But so, Chris, I'm not sure if we've helped. But
not sure if we've helped, but what a lovely...
There's no judgment here. That's what we'll say.
And what a lovely place that must be to live.
Yeah, really nice. I love it when we hear about our listeners all over the globe.
Nice to back onto a forest. Oh, yes. I would worry about some of the creatures in that forest. But apart from that.
Bears and things.
Oh, my goodness. I bet there are some bears. Chris hasn't told us how hairy he is.
No, that's true. I'm guessing Chris is an otter. That's just the vibe I got from that note.
That's interesting. We can never tell. We can never tell from a written correspondence.
Never can.
But I think it's a lovely idea and something that we can only dream of as suburban dwellers that we are.
Yes. Oh, goodness. If I got my bits out, I chat to my neighbours over the way.
Well, I'm sure they chat to
everything.
You.
They'd see Pinky and Perky.
I've got a sort of old people's home at the back of my garden.
Well, give them something to look at, love.
Well, I will now. Well, I don't know about that.
Now, Tom... Talking yes. about global listeners, may I just quickly remind people?
Oh, Susie, yes.
My special.
Oh, yes.
Came out yesterday, and you can listen to it all over the globe. Last time when I had my little special that went on Amazon, lots of lovely like-minded friends got in touch and said, how can we watch it elsewhere? And the answer was, there's nothing I could do. But this one, we've made it so people can watch it all over the globe. And if you are a listener of like-minded friends, you get 30% off. Until the 25th of December.
Oh.
So all you have to do is go to 800 Pound Gorilla. That's the website. Go to my bit. Or you'll just find it through my website or my Instagram. Use the code Susie LMF. So SUZILMF at the checkout. And the discount will be applied automatically. And that's through to the 25th of December. So if you are a like-minded friend who... has said before, oh, I'd love to see you guys here. You can watch my special that was recorded at the Bloomsbury Theatre earlier this year.
Oh, I was there.
Tom was there. We had a lovely
fabulous.
Drink afterwards.
Absolutely brilliant. Oh, it was brilliant. Oh, yeah, we had a nice drink.
It
was so good. It was so good, everyone. Definitely check it out. That's a great thing.
And do you know what, Tom? I'm going to ask people again for something else. Is that terrible?
No, not at all.
So me and Alice are doing the Big City Sleepout, which is in Brighton. We are sleeping next to the beach on the 9th of December. So it'll be very, very chilly to raise money for the Clock Tower Sanctuary, which is a local charity for people experiencing homelessness. And the people that they help are all young people between 16 and 25. And their referrals have gone up this year exponentially because so many people are having sort of inconsistent housing. Some people sleeping rough, some people having just not good scenarios and nothing that feels secure. And so this charity do amazing things where they help people get jobs or help people get accommodation, or you know, you can use their office as your address so that you can then get a job, because there's all these things that are in your way if you're someone that's trying to you know, make leaps into a different kind of life. It can be very difficult. And they also provide food and somewhere to have a wash and shower and wash your clothes and charge your phone and take dinner away with you and all sorts of things and classes. And they're just brilliant. And my wife, Alice, does a lot of voluntary stuff with them. And so we are doing the Big City Sleepout. Again, it's on my Instagram handle. We're trying to get up to £1,000 to raise money, and it would be amazing if we could get to that. So if you are one of our like-minded friends with maybe some deep pockets and you'd like to do something positive around Christmas for young people, that'd be amazing. Also worth noting, a lot of the people that they help are young LGBT people, because sadly in Brighton it seems that lots of young LGBT people maybe that don't have a support network might come here because they know it's a place where they might be accepted, but then, you know, that they might end up in scenarios where they still, you know, don't have somewhere that's safe for them to be. So, they really are brilliant. So sorry for selling two things on the podcast, but you know, you
not at all, Susie, that's a wonderful thing to do.
But if people could sponsor us, that would be really amazing.
Oh, lovely. I'm sure they will. Well, well done, everybody. Well done.
Well done.
And
support. We love
thank
you
for your support. Don't be down about mean people.
Yeah.
There's always been mean people, unfortunately, but it's for nice people to do nice things.
You should put that on a pillow.
I'm actually embroidering it right now as I say it.
On that lovely cushion from your mum?
Yes, I'll let her know, yeah.
Okay, well, listen, if we don't see you through the window.
I'll see you through the week, okay.
Okay, bye.
All right, bye everyone, bye.
Bye.
How do you know if you're worrying too much? How can you mend a broken heart? Does peaking at school ruin you for life? I'm Susie Ruffle, a stand-up comedian and someone who has always experienced anxiety. And I've written a book, Am I Having Fun Now? Considering some of life's big questions. Featuring bonus insights from the likes of Charlene Douglas, Sarah Pascoe, Elizabeth Day and Dolly Alderton. Am I Having Fun Now? Is out now in hardback, ebook and audio.